What does the Bible have to say about the issue of quarantining? Several years ago, we as a church were working through the book of Leviticus, and we came upon a very lengthy section that dealt with dealing with infectious diseases. It's Leviticus 13 and 14. And from that section of Scripture, we developed some very insightful practices and insights from that text of Scripture that has helped us in our congregation to this day. I'd like to share some of those principles with you. But before I do, I want to address this issue of Scripture as it relates to the modern world and even the subject of infectious diseases. Many people say, oh, what does the Bible have to say about that? It's an old book. It's outdated. But the author of the Bible, God, says this: the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to every generation. Psalm 33, verses 10 to 11. See, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. God's counsel, God's word, stands for every generation. So what we really need in this day, as in any day, is the knowledge of God's Word. We need to know what God's Word says in relation to everything that God has given to us. Now, some say, well, the Bible doesn't really address all of the subjects of life. We need to have wisdom and we need to have reason and common sense and all these things. And to which I would say, absolutely, I agree. The Bible doesn't address every specific situation, much like a math book doesn't answer every math problem. But a good math book will show you, will teach you how to think mathematically, how to do mathematics, and it gives you the basic formulas by which then you can plug in all the different questions and situations and math problems that you may have, and you can come to the right answer. In a similar way, the Bible gives the foundational truths. It gives the fundamental laws and principles and the proper order, so that we can place all of the events of life and the questions that we have into those formulas, into those principles, into those teachings, into those laws. And when we understand that those laws are foundational to God's word, to God's order, to God's plan, we can come away with what the Bible calls wisdom. Wisdom is when we rightly align our lives to the Word of God. And so, yes, we do need to have reason. We need to have logic. We need to think. But we need a reason from the Scriptures. We need to think logically from the Scriptures, that the Scriptures are our presuppositional base. They form our bedrock, solid foundation in all that God says and all that God's Word has to offer. So you may say, well, where do you get that from? The Bible. Why would you think the Bible is sufficient to cover all things? Well, I get that from the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. That means all Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture is given by the thepneuktos, the breath of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration. And because it's given by inspiration, it's profitable. It's very meaningful. It's helpful. Okay? For what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, lacking nothing. So Scripture is profitable for every good work, that the man of God may be complete. That means there's nothing lacking in Scripture. So everything we need to learn from God for life and for godliness, either in practice or in principle or in command. And there's different degrees in Scripture. There's different degrees of importance of things that even God Himself assigned. It's very important to know that Jesus died for your sins, that He rose again from the dead, and that unless you repent, you'll perish. So that's like of utmost importance. That's like foundational, that you know God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? That's very important. But then there's things that are very helpful in learning how to love your neighbor. And there's all kind of laws and commandments and things of that nature. So all these things need to be put in its context, and it's not really the scope of this short video to put all that together. But I just want to deal specifically now with this issue of quarantining and why it is so important that we would say, does the Bible have anything to say about quarantining? And if the answer is yes, then we should at least look at that and consider it and see it as very foundational, and that we should then reason and think from that basis of what God has said in His Word. That's my understanding as a pastor. That's how I approach the Word of God. And that is a great blessing for those who would take in God's Word, understand it, and apply it as the very core foundation of their life. In other words, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 1 opens up with that very important perspective that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All knowledge and wisdom is found principally in God's Word. And from that basis, then, we begin to develop and apply all Scripture for all life. Okay, so let's jump into Leviticus 13 and 14. You can read this section of Scripture for yourself. I'm not going to take the time to read it here. I just want to drive out five principles that help us in dealing with the spread of infectious disease. As you begin reading it, the first thing you'll notice is that there is an authority structure in the Old Testament, that would be the priests, that were responsible, that had the authority from God to apply a quarantine. So we see there's a principle that governing authorities were created by God to help set boundaries and establish the parameters of quarantining for the purpose of stopping infectious disease. So again, this is nothing new under the sun. Infectious diseases have been spreading from the dawn of time, from the curse. Since that time, diseases have been affecting humanity because of our sin. Deuteronomy 24:8 says, "Take heed in an outbreak of leprosy." The Hebrew word stands for an infectious disease. "That you carefully observe and do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you, just as I commanded you, so you shall carefully do." So we see the first principle is God grants human authority to govern through an issue of an infectious disease, of an outbreak of such, and that quarantining is part of that authority God gives to human governments. So that's the first principle. The second principle is, okay, how should this be done? And that's a hot issue today with the COVID-19 outbreak. How are governments, how are households, how are churches and elders and pastors and priests and all the, how are we to respond to the challenges of this outbreak? And we see, first of all, that those who had symptoms had the responsibility to go and be tested. So that's the second principle. Those who had a symptom. So you had a symptom, you had to go be tested. The third principle here, we see the process would be that the priest would examine that person. So those in authority would administer a test. Now, in that testing, while they were waiting for that test, it's very important that the person who was suspect would be quarantined. Again, you can read this. It's all listed in Leviticus 13 and 14. The person that was suspected that they were contagious, they would be quarantined until the results came back from that test. So this is the basis. We see here the basis here in the book of the law in Leviticus, we see the basis here for evidence-based quarantining. And this is very important. So evidence-based quarantining meant that you are quarantined while you're a suspect, waiting for the results. When the results came in, you had two results, right? One would be negative. You're fine. The test came back negative. You don't have that. And if that was the case, then the priest would declare the person as clean. They could be reintegrated back into society. If they passed the test, they were negative, they had no infectious disease, they were clean. I guess there's three results. One could be further testing, right? Sometimes that could, and Leviticus covers that. The other main result would be either they're clean or they're unclean. The scripture uses those words. They could be unclean. They could be tested positive for the infectious disease. If they were positive for the infectious disease, then they would be quarantined for the rest of their illness. So that could be a lengthy time, and the scripture declared them as unclean, and they had to be quarantined. They had to be separated from their loved ones. So that was a drastic measure, but this was in place to protect people from the spread of infectious diseases. So we see here this evidence-based quarantining is very important. So again, just to reiterate, there's some principles. Government had the authority to do this. Those in authority, were to administer tests, okay? They would examine the person who would be testing. While they were rating results, they practiced number four would be the evidence-based quarantining. Evidence-based quarantining. And the fifth principle here was if you weren't tested negative, if you didn't have an issue, you were not quarantined. Those who had symptoms were quarantined. Those who had no symptoms were not quarantined. And I think that's a very important principle, especially in relation to what's going on today. From these guidelines, from God's Word, we as a church have developed practices that kind of help navigate in a community of all kind of different people and all kind of different illnesses and all kind of different ages and children and adults and older people. And trying to work through this, and you know the cold comes through, the flu comes through. As elders, we kind of had a summary statement. It went like something like this: if you're sick, you know you should stay home, right? You don't spread that. If you feel you have an infectious disease, if you have reason to think that, you should get that tested and get that treated, right? There are medical facilities. There's all kind of different solutions we have to help the body to heal itself and to fight off these diseases. Each household has responsibility to discern this, and those in leadership are responsibility to oversee this process. But in general, if you're sick, stay home. If you're not sick, then you're welcome to come to church. Join in the assembly. And those kind of helped us to navigate through this as we take the principles from Leviticus 13 and 14 and apply them to today. We do see sometimes people get fearful. They get fearful of being sick. And the counsel there is always, fear God, do not fear being sick. Because when you fear God and you embrace His commandments, God gives you wisdom. So the fear of God removes panic. Fear of God grants wisdom. Wisdom is fundamentally in line with God's Word. And then it adds to that reason and thinking that men do. And as we learn in this world, as God has commanded us to go into all the world, have dominion. So we're to have dominion, but remember, we're taking dominion in a sin-cursed world. So here's principles. We need to reason from the scriptures, and we need to think about God in this way, that ultimately God is in control, and that death is not the ultimate separation. Death is not the ultimate problem if you believe in the gospel that Jesus died for your sins and rose again from the dead. And so the most important question is, do you know God? Have you believed in God? Are you repenting of your sins? Are you trusting in Jesus who died for you and rose again? Are you trusting Him and Him alone to save you from your sin? Because if you are, then there's really no fear in this, right? We cast our cares upon the Lord. We trust in Him that He will take us through whatever He calls us through. We need to have wisdom, not fear. So for those who fear, don't fear. Trust God. Now, if you don't know God, you have reason to fear. If you don't know God, you have reason to fear this pandemic. But don't allow that to lead you into irrational thinking and panic and just trying to do everything to save yourself. No, let it lead you to God, the author and finisher of all things. God is in control. So during this time, let's pray for our leaders, that they would have wisdom. Let's pray for one another, that God would have mercy on us. Let's pray for this nation and for the world, that for those who do not know God, that they would turn to God and that they would see the wisdom of God in His Word and that they would be blessed by Him. Thank you.